Chapter 30, and begin reading in verse number 11, Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 11. It says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Let's pray. Dear only Father, we just thank you again for your word this morning. We pray your presence with us this morning. We pray your blessing upon us. We pray your illumination from your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would understand these truths. And we pray you would work in our hearts, Lord, that we might yield unto them, and that we would do as you ask of us to do, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In various places in Scripture, we see God lays out to his people a very definite choice. We see in this passage a very clear enunciation of what their choices are and the consequences of each. These verses that we've read essentially serve as a summation of what he's been speaking to his people over the last several chapters in what is referred to by some as the Palestinian covenant, that this promise that if they were going to serve him, that there'd be different blessings that were going to come. If they did not serve him, there'd be different cursings that would come upon them. And we recognize in a way that this passage here that we've read also serves as a summation of the entire book of Deuteronomy, that Deuteronomy is essentially Moses' last words to his people, his final speech before he dies. That as a nation that they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of the unbelief of the previous generation. And now that generation that came out of Egypt, that first generation has all fallen in the wilderness. And now it's the next generation, that it's their time to soon go into the land. And as Moses is led of God, he is giving this last sermon, essentially, to them. He wants to prepare them as much as he can for what lies before them so that they'll make the right decisions. And so we see here that he left no confusion as to what he meant, that he gave very stark choices. And you can read in the chapters previous of kind of, this is what's going to happen if you do this, this is what's going to happen if you do this other thing. And we see here that he lays before them life and good, death and evil. He says, "I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." That it was very clear. There are stark choices, that they wouldn't be confused with each one. He laid out the consequences of each decision. So it was very clear. And he clears which one is the right decision, and he pleads with them to make that decision for their own good, where he says, "Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." And we see this pattern in various places throughout the Scripture. We see Joshua in his final speech to the Israelites in Joshua chapter 24, that he said unto them, Joshua chapter 24, and verse 15 it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That he gave them their choices, and he made it clear that they needed to make a choice. A choice they needed to make immediately. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We see that as well with Elijah when he stood on Mount Carmel and all the people were there and the prophets of Baal were assembled, and he said, "How long halts ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And we see as well in Isaiah chapter 1 that he gives these different principles. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, where he says to his people, he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." That is very clear delineation of their choices, and that there's no confusion left to them of what is going to happen. I've been listening lately to the Bible on CD. I've been going through Jeremiah. And we see this as well in a couple different instances in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 38. What's happening here is that Zedekiah is king, and Jeremiah has been prophesying of judgment to come, calling on people to return unto him. And a lot of people didn't like what he had to say, so they cast him in prison. But then he was delivered from prison, and Zedekiah wanted to speak to Jeremiah. He wanted to hear from what Jeremiah had to say from the Lord. And we see Jeremiah 38 and verse 17 says, "Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, Thy friends have set thee on, and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire." Now we see that a clear choice was given to Zedekiah. Consequences of each choice were laid out. He was responsible to make a decision, and he was responsible for the decision he made. That if he did not obey the voice of the Lord, it was going to be his fault that the city was going to be burned with fire. That it was given to him in those terms. We see as well in Jeremiah chapter 42 that what has happened now is that Jerusalem has been conquered. The Babylonians set up this man named Gedaliah as governor, but he was assassinated. And a lot of the remnant that were remaining in the land were afraid. They thought, well, maybe we should go to Egypt. We're going to be safe in Egypt. And so they asked Jeremiah, go to God and ask God what we should do. And we see the response Jeremiah gives in Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 9. He said to them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you, and not pull you down, and I will plant you, and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save and deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof ye were afraid shall fall close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. So again we see that it's very clearly laid out what they are to do. The choices are given, the consequences are given for each, and they are beseeched to obey the voice of the Lord. And we see that principle remains the same both in the Old Testament and even to us in the New Testament area. The principles of the gospel, the principle of life itself, that if a person repents of their sins and trusts in Christ as Savior, that they will have their sins forgiven, they will have eternal life, they will have a relationship with the Father, they will have an eternal inheritance. But if someone refuses the gospel, refuses to obey the gospel, that the consequences are torment and separation from God for eternity. And as a Christian, we recognize as well that God gives different principles as well of how we are to live, what we are to value, what we are to pursue after. If we obey His instructions, we find blessing, we find fulfillment, we find joy and victory. We know that we'll hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, in the end. But we know that if we refuse to obey Him as believers, if we persist in sin, that will bring upon ourselves a chastening of the Lord, will bring upon ourselves pain and sorrow and a lack of fulfillment in our lives. And as in the words of Moses, God sets before men life and death, blessing and cursing, and He pleads with man that he would choose life. We see it in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, where he says, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? That he wanted them to turn back. He didn't want to see them perish. And so you would think that with having things laid out so clearly, that the decision would be a no-brainer, that we say, well, if I have a choice between life or death, well, I'm going to choose life. If I have a choice between blessing or cursing, we're going to take the blessing. It's like if you went into a store and they had a big display of food, and you had this one thing of food that said it was healthy and tastes good and everything, and you want to take that. If you see some next to it where it has all these warning labels where don't take this, this will kill you, you're not going to get your cart full of that stuff. It's the idea of it, that it only makes sense that you want to take what's good, you want to refuse what's going to do you harm. But the problem is that so often people choose the opposite of what you think that they would. That we see this through Scripture as well, that the Lord promised the children of Israel that if they didn't follow Him, that there would be chastening, there would be famine and pestilence, and if it persisted, that they would be carried away captive to a far-off land and be dispersed and scattered amongst the nations. And we see that from Scripture and from history, that as a nation they didn't follow Him, and it happened exactly as God said that it would. We see with King Zedekiah that he was warned he needed to surrender himself to the king of Babylon, and if he didn't, that the city would be burned with fire and he and his family would be captured. But he didn't listen, and the city was burnt to the ground. The temple was completely destroyed, and his family was captured as they sought to escape, just as God said that they would be, that Zedekiah's sons were slain before his eyes, and then his eyes were put out and he was put in chains and carried away to Babylon. that even with the remnant of the land that God told them through Jeremiah, don't go into Egypt. If you go there, you're going to be wiped out. You'll never return to the land of Israel. They went despite Jeremiah's warning, and they were wiped out just as Jeremiah said that they would be. And even today we think that men are presented with the choice of life and death, of eternal life through Jesus Christ, or eternal death in the torments of the lake of fire, and yet so many choose death. And as Christians, that blessing and cursing is set before us. And so many times we forgo the blessing and we embrace what is to our detriment. And we ask, why do we do that? It clearly doesn't make sense, but it does seem to be human nature. And so we want to ask ourselves why and get an understanding of that. First of all, we see many choose death over life and cursing over blessing because they just don't know. We see in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 where it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Another place in the scripture, it speaks of there being a famine, not of bread nor of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That there's many that don't know, that we understand that many are blinded to the truth by the devil himself. That it says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, "If the gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them." And that's why we as believers, we recognize we have a responsibility to go and teach all nations, so that all would know and have the knowledge of the truth, so that they might be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, the same passage where it speaks of the world being blinded from the light of the glorious gospel. It says, verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That God wants us to, if we know the Lord, if we know the truth, that He wants us to share it with others so that they might know as well. But we recognize as well that even in this, that it is important for each individual to seek out the truth for themselves. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Lord says that at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That in any important decision that one must make, we seek to get as much information as possible. If there's election, that it's a whole idea, we want to be an informed voter so that when we choose someone, that it's going to hopefully be the person that we thought they were. And sometimes it happens where it's like, well, I didn't think that guy was going to do that, but it may have been that we weren't informed. And we can think of that in any decision, buying a vehicle or deciding on a job or anything like that, that we want to make an informed decision. And what greater decision is there than where we might spend eternity? And so there is that responsibility that we see of becoming informed. But secondly, we recognize that many choose death over life and cursing over blessing because they've been deceived. As with Eve in the garden, that she was beguiled by Satan to distrust God's word and think that there is a better way. That they thought that God was not being true. That God had ulterior motives and that they were going to miss out by following what He said. But it came true exactly as God said that it would be. And we see this deception in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah chapter 43 that Jeremiah had given them this thing, that it was from the Lord. They had asked God's will. But we see Jeremiah 43 verse 2, "Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshai and Johanan the son of Kareah and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, Go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah." And we see that they did not obey. And we find later on in Jeremiah chapter 44 that Jeremiah was trying to speak to them and tell them that all these things had happened to them because they were serving other gods and following after idols. But we see in verse 16 of Jeremiah 44, they responded to Jeremiah and said, "As for the word that thou hast spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. And since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword, and by the famine." And so, and we see how twisted their thinking is, that they think it's because they stopped worshiping these false gods that they lost favor with the Queen of Heaven, and so therefore that's why all these bad things have happened. And Jeremiah tries to show them how that doesn't make any sense, and shows them how it really is. Verse 22, it says, "So that the Lord can no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abomination which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment and a curse, without an inhabitant, as it is this day. Because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you, as at this day." That it was the thought that they didn't see. They thought, oh, it's because we stopped worshiping the Queen of Heaven, therefore this bad thing's happened, so we need to start worshiping her again, and life's just going to be great. And he's trying to show them, no, the whole reason judgment came upon you from the Lord is because of your idolatry. That it wasn't the lack of it that was the cause of it. It was what you had done that the Lord was bringing judgment upon you, that you needed to stop doing it so that the Lord could bless them. And we see that many are enslaved by the devil. Many are ensnared by him and taken captive by his will. And again, we recognize as believers, God wants to use us to declare his truth, to make it plain, to help people see things as they really are, as Jeremiah did, to show them what the truth is. But that brings us to the primary reason that men choose death over life and cursing over blessing. Why so often there is ignorance, why so often men become deceived. And that is because of the rebellion and defiance of man's heart. That as men and women, that we refuse to believe, that we refuse to accept God's truth, we refuse to submit to God's authority. That we think of the verse in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 where it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But we see that that verse continues and it says, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." That they had forgotten the law of God. It was not that they did not have it, it is that they rejected, they turned from it. They didn't want to hear it. We see in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20, Romans 1. In verse 20 it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." And we see verse 25 that they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That they had the truth, but they turned from it. They didn't want to accept it. They would rather accept a lie. And we see this as well in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, where it's speaking of the idea of the Antichrist and man's response unto him and their acceptance of him. We see 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, "Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." And we recognize that Satan is a deceiver. We see verse 10, "with all deceivableness deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, as because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The fact that they would turn from what is true opened them up to the deception, that they would rather receive the deception than accept God's truth and submit unto it. And we see that this was how, as Jeremiah dealt with the remnant, that God made it clear to Jeremiah their true heart behind the matter when they actually asked Jeremiah to find out what God's will was, that they essentially wanted to do what they were going to do, and they wanted God to rubber stamp it. And we see in Jeremiah 42, in verse 19, that Jeremiah concludes, he says, "The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn." That they had their plan, and even though the Lord, through Jeremiah, made it very clear the consequences, that they were not willing to submit. They had never been able to submit. That's what had got them into the trouble as a nation to begin with, and that was what was going to continue to get them into trouble as a people. That they made all these different excuses, but the fact remained that they were refusing to obey the voice of the Lord. And we see that in Jeremiah 43 and verse 7, that they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. This came to even the Tappanese. That they were not willing to listen. They were not willing to obey. And in all these things we see that it hinges upon our obedience unto the Lord. That even we think of it in terms of our salvation itself, that is in obedience to the gospel, that we're to respond in what the Lord says, and manage to repent and believe. He has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 how it speaks of him bringing judgments to all them that obey not the gospel of God. And so when we think of it, as we think of why man doesn't choose right, why man chooses death over life and cursing over blessing, we see that the problem statistically is not that they have not heard, it's not that they have that they're just deceived and they don't see the truth, but it's the fact is that so many have rejected what they have heard. It's not that they were never enlightened, but that they turned from the light. It's not that there was never any witnesses, but that they rejected all of them. We see in John chapter 5 of how Jesus speaks to them. John 5, he declares unto them all these different witnesses that are given of himself. That he bore witness of himself, but if he bore witness of himself, this is verse 31 of John 5. It says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He said unto John, he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And so we see that he gives testimony of himself. John the Baptist is a witness of him. The works that he did, and the Father himself bear witness of him, and the scriptures themselves gave testimony. But then we see verse 40, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." That they did not want this man to reign over him. They did not want to accept his terms. They wanted a Messiah that was going to come and just free them from Rome, but not deal with their sin. They were self-righteous, and they wanted God to declare them to be self-righteous. And he wasn't about to do that. And we see that throughout the scriptures, that giving of the truth and people turning from it. And we recognize that the truths of God naturally rub us the wrong way. It offends our pride. The fact that we're not good enough to get to heaven on our own merit. The fact that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That God isn't just going to let us have our way and rubber stamp all that we have and all that we want to do. The thought that we would have to surrender ourselves, that we would have to humble ourselves under His mighty hand, that we would have to submit to His authority, that's something in our sinfulness and in our pride that we just don't want to do that. We refuse, we rebel, we don't want to surrender to God's ways, we don't want to surrender to His wisdom. We want to do it our way. We want to seek to prove God wrong and that we can find life and fulfillment outside of Him, outside of His will. And as with the children of Israel, we can fight and we can resist and we can go our own way, but it never does us any good. That in doing that, it hurts everyone around us and it hurts ourselves most of all. That we see that God lays out our choices clearly. He declares the consequences as of each option. He shows us the right option and He pleads with us to take it. And we know that good will assuredly come as we submit, as we surrender, and as we yield, as we humble ourselves before Him. But we know as well that the evil just as assuredly come if we persist in our stubborn disobedience. And that is the sad case of humanity, that we fight so long to our own hurt, that we fight the one who loves us, the one who only has our best interests at heart, that He calls on us to surrender, to repent, to acknowledge the truth, to believe and obey and be blessed, that He wants to do that for us. He wants us to turn to Him, and it's a matter of us surrendering Him, that for someone, as they're confronted with the gospel, the Lord sets before them life and death, that they have to decide, am I going to accept what the scriptures say? Am I going to accept that God says that I'm a sinner, that I can't save myself, that I needed the Lord Jesus to come and bring salvation through His death and burial and resurrection? And as I trust in that and I cast my whole thought of my own righteousness aside, and I look to faith to His righteousness, that I can be saved. That if a person will do that, that they will have life. But if they say, no, I want to do it my own way. That I remember one time sharing the gospel with a fellow in the nursing home, and he said, I tried to share it with him, and he said, well, I figure I'm just doing the best I can, and if that's not good enough for God, that's His problem. And the sad thing is that it wasn't God's problem, it was His problem, that He needed to see that, but He refused to see that. And it's just such a sad thing sometimes seeing that, where dealing with someone that's near death and you share the gospel with them and ask them, do you want to receive that? And they shake their head and they say no. Even though it means that they could spend an eternity in hell, they don't see it, or they don't want to see it. They don't want to accept that. They don't want to submit themselves unto the truth. And it's some as well as a Christian that the Lord sets before us blessing and cursing. That He teaches us, I want you to follow me. I want you to enter into a relationship with me. I want you to draw close to me in prayer and reading my word and seeking to live it out in my life and to make changes to be transformed by His power each day as we seek Him. That it's something that we recognize. There's things that we need to change, things that we cling to that He says, I want you to let go because they're not important. They're going to actually hold you back from what's good. And are we going to make that decision? Are we going to surrender those things? Are we going to surrender ourselves, make our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him? Or is it something that we are going to instead say, no, I'm going to do it my own way, and then we face the chastening of the Lord. We miss out on the blessings He wants to give us. We miss out on the opportunities He wants to use us in this world to be a blessing to others. And so it's the thought that He sets before us, life and death, blessing and cursing, As Moses said, let us therefore choose life. Let us each day choose life and blessing. That it's something that we don't postpone. That as Jeremiah, or as Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's something that we make a decision. We don't put it off, and that kind of day by day that we make that decision as well, that we would choose to serve the Lord, choose to surrender to His truth, choose to align ourselves with it, that we might not be as so many others, that we demand our way and that we continue in our rebellion and we suffer for it, but rather that we would all learn to be humble, that we would learn to truly believe and be obedient unto His word, so that we can see the blessing that He wants to bestow upon us as His people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for making things plain to us, Lord. We know we need so much kind of a simplicity of truth, of right and wrong and things. And Lord, we just pray You would help us. We know it's not a problem of understanding it many times, Lord. A lot of times it's just a problem of us not wanting to obey You, not wanting to submit to what You have to say. And we just pray You would help us, Lord, not to fight You anymore, but to seek to obey You in all things and even be helped in our obedience, Lord, by Your strength, that we may receive the blessings that You want to bestow upon us as Your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 241. Number 241.